Well, amen. Good morning. Look at all these smiling faces. I love it. Love it. All right. Well, let's take our hymnal. Turn to hymn number 336. Let's all stand as we sing, "There is a Fountain."
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Ere since my faith, my soul was free, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. When this poor listening, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save.
Amen. Now we're going to sing hymn number 688. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us between beneath thy tender care. In thy pleasant pasture, feed us, for our disciples prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast taught us thine way. Befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus.
Amen. Good morning to you all. It's good to see you all. Let's go to our Lord in a time of prayer. Father, Lord, thank you for the songs that we have sung this morning. Lord, thank you for your love that you showed for us as we look at Calvary. We look at your Son Jesus who gave his all for us. And Father, we pray, Lord, as we come to this place at this hour, that we would learn eternal truths, Father, that we would apply these truths to our heart. I pray that as we think about the church, the local church, and specifically as we think about membership of a local church, Lord, I pray that we, as a body of believers here at Beryl, would take church seriously, would take this thing of church membership seriously. Lord, you love the church. Lord, help us also to love your bride. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Back in August or September, we started a series authored by Jeff Johnson, the pastor of Grace Bible Church in Conway, entitled The Church. And we started that back in August or September. And about that time, the numbers of COVID cases were really skyrocketing, and the number of folks that would attend the first service was very, very small and getting smaller. And I did not feel led to go through such a great study with such a small number, maybe 10 to 15 folks. And so we took a long break. I want to get back to that study of the church. And so we've already looked at chapter 1, which talks about the unity of the church. Today we're going to be looking at the church membership. Is the title of this chapter, the membership of the church. But Jeff wrote this book, The Church. It speaks about her nature, authority, and purpose, and worship. This particular version that I have is his latest edition. If you have the earlier edition, it was entitled The Church, Why Bother? But this one has, he has made... There's more content in with this particular book here. But we're just going to walk our way through this very slowly. And I'm not going to try to present the entire chapter in one 30-minute lesson. We're going to just walk our way through it slowly. And prayerfully, it helps us, even as members of a church, to understand why we belong to a church. And prayerfully, it helps us to better serve one another in the local church. And so we're going to start again by that, starting in chapter 2, the membership of the church. And he starts out by saying this, that God calls his people to be active and faithful members of a local church. He says, going to church is not to be squeezed in the Christian's weekly schedule. Rather, it should be the principal activity and focal point of the Christian life. And so it would do us well to look at our life and to look at the priorities that we have as a family and see what exactly is the focal point of your family. See what it is that is the principal activity of your family. Of course, there's always going to be work. There's always going to be school, those things. But what is it that is on your schedule that you're going to do everything you can to not miss it? Entertainment, hobbies, work, and family are secondary to what? The worship of God in the assembly of the saints. In other words, Christians are to rotate their schedules around the life of the church. But boy, I tell you what, that is polar opposite of our world today, is it not? Especially in the life of believers. They cannot say that they rotate their schedules around the life of the church. They rotate their schedules around entertainment and activities and hobbies and so forth. But the primary reason for going to church is not to become a better parent. The primary reason to attend church is not to become a better spouse, a better worker, or even a better citizen, but rather to worship God. So the primary reason to attend church is to worship God. Those who only go to church to gain skills to maybe better cope with life's problems have really misunderstood the purpose of the church. I have seen this as a pastor for many years, how that there will be some people who will come to church in the crisis times of their life. All of a sudden they become very religious when they go through a financial strain or they go through a difficult time in the family, and they attend church, but they have this reason for doing so, that this may be the key to help them in the situation. And that's the only reason they come. And therefore, when that situation subsides, they leave the church. Okay? So they don't see that the purpose of them attending church is to worship God and Him alone. Now, yes, church will help the Christian in all the areas of our life. But the ultimate goal of the Christian is not self. The ultimate goal of the Christian is not work or even family. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is God. Christians are to go to church. They are to attend church to glorify God. And if God is to be the center of their Christian life, or if God is to be the center of the Christian family, the home, then church is to be the center of the Christian's schedule. He gives three aversions or three objections as to why church membership is not something that is very important today, even in the life of Christians. The first one he gives is an aversion to church membership, or an objection to church membership. Making membership a priority sadly seems too extreme for many, even professing Christians. Even if they admit that worship is to take a priority over every other activity of life, too many of them still feel that they can worship God just as well apart from other Christians. In other words, they can worship God in their homes privately, listening to or watching an online service, or by going for a walk in the woods as they can in a gathered assembly of the saints. So there's an objection to church membership, and that is, I can worship God the way I feel is right. Well, there's another objection that he gives, and that is an aversion to accountability. One of the main reasons why church membership is not seen as important today is because of this thing of accountability. People today do not want to be held accountable today. The individually and personal freedom of postmodernism have won over contemporary Christianity. Today's postmodern believer views the Christian life, for the most part, as independently of the body of Christ. And when church attendance then is factored in a peculiar flavor of church that fits one's personality and particular set of desires, must meet the match. For instance, the young and restless is what he calls them. The young and restless are looking for a church that is on the cutting edge. Senior citizens are looking for a church where they can worship traditionally. Parents are looking for a church that has a good nursery. Youth are looking for a church that has a youth group that has cool activities. And single adults are looking for a church to maybe find love. But here's what happens. Viewing the church through the lens of self leads people to judge a church based on how well the church meets their personal expectations. That's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Many churches have compounded the problem by then catering to this type of individualism. To satisfy man's free spirit, individualism has been exalted above corporate community and creating an atmosphere where people can enjoy their own individual experience. And sadly, this has become more important to them than a church upholding the doctrines of biblical doctrines and standards and biblical confessions of faith. Churches minor on those things. They major on making the church more fitting for those who are looking for that particular type of church. So therefore, church has become a place for people to get a spiritual experience rather than being a place for mutual accountability and biblical instruction for corporate interaction. Consequently, he says, churches no longer have a formal membership policy. They just simply view everyone, both believers and non-believers, as attendees. You know, what we do as far as bringing someone before the church and saying that this person or these individuals are coming to join the church by a promise of a letter from another church or by statement of faith that they have been saved and baptized, that is a dinosaur in most churches. Most churches don't do that. You just attend, you give, and they see no importance whatsoever of church membership. As a matter of fact, we really don't ask for letters much anymore because most of churches that we do so don't have a letter from that person's previous church. So this type of individualism, of course, is undermining church membership. And so therefore, church has become like a fast food restaurant. You drive in, you get fed, and you drive out with no commitments attached whatsoever. This type of individualism, of course, is undermining church membership. And so with a low view of accountability, Christians have begun to believe that church membership then is just optional. You know, they see it as a good thing, maybe, but it's not necessarily a biblical thing. Therefore, many people are content to church hop their whole lives, or then just stay at home eventually. Option B, of course, is to go to the woods to worship God in their own way, or to attend a church but never become committed or submitted to a church. So again, one of the great objections of church membership is this thing of accountability. People just do not want to be held accountable today. Notice, thirdly, he mentions an aversion to commitment. One of the reasons why there is an objection to church membership is not only because of the lack of accountability, is that what goes along with that is commitment. I don't have to be nearly as committed to something if I haven't joined it. You see? People just want maybe the benefits or blessings of attending church, but they don't want to be a blessing in committing to a local New Testament church. Even when people do join a church today, those people remaining committed and faithful is not to be expected. Which is one of the reasons why the last 3 years or so, I have, in talking to prospective members, I always give them a church membership agreement. That here are some things that we agree to, or that we teach as a church. I mean, just the fundamentals of the faith. This is what you're agreeing that we teach here. You understand this. But also, here's what we expect of you. There's a commitment involved in you joining a church. There's a commitment for the church that we make to those people who join, that we're going to reach out to them. We're going to serve them. We're going to put their interests above our interests. But also there's a commitment that a family makes or an individual makes when they join a church. No longer are people leaving a church because of doctrinal error. No longer are people leaving a church because of other biblical concerns. Rather, they leave a church because they hear about all the excitement that is coming from the new church down the road. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I have been so disappointed, especially pastoring in very rural places that had a much smaller congregation, maybe not near as a vibrant of a children's or youth ministry, and someone in the church leaves your church because the church down the road has a more vibrant youth ministry or whatever the case is. And so rather than remaining faithful to the body of believers to whom they have made a commitment to, and they have joined themselves to, they eagerly run down the street to join enthusiasm. People will also jump ship if they get their feelings hurt. I love what he says here, and it's so true, that postmodernists are quick to change membership for the slightest reason. He says, gone are the days where Christians remain faithful to a church and seek to work out their differences with love and humility. Paul's advice for Euodia and Syntyche in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, where he's told them, hey, you two get together and you agree in the Lord. You work out these two things and you agree in the Lord. that advice is no longer heeded. Rather, today, what we hear now is, well, you got to find a church that is right for you. And if you got your feelings hurt, just go somewhere else and worship. No commitment. And so this type of independence is distressing because it is contrary to the truth of God's Word, and it is contrary to the truth that there should be unity within God's people. Although all Christians have an individual and personal relationship with Christ, they are also called by God to live out their Christianity within the community of God's people. Jeffrey says this, he says, Christianity is individual. Yes, we all have our personal relationship with Christ, right? Christianity is individual, but it is not individualistic. Okay? Christianity is individual, but it is not individualistic. In other words, there's no place for a Christian to be a Lone Ranger Christian. Yes, your faith is personal to you, between you and the Lord, but you're not to be individualistic. There is to be a community. We need one another. You need me and I need you. And that was one of the greatest heartaches last year during this time, where there was not that fellowship. There was no communion. And that is a vital part of the church. Community. And sadly, there are churches throughout our country who are still not meeting. Unbelievable. Sad. It killed me to do it 6 weeks or so. I couldn't imagine staying away for over a year. But the same Spirit who unites believers to Christ is the same Spirit who unites believers to one another. And we need that. Listen, to love Christ is to love His people. And to submit to Christ is for you to submit yourself to His bride, the local church. It's troubling when a person, an individual or family, will not submit themselves to a local New Testament church. Be accountable, be committed. Some Christians who live great distances from a solid church may have no alternative but to listen to recorded sermons at home with other believers for a season. But Christians should never be content with this as being a long-term solution. It's like what we did last year. We did not meet in person for about 6 weeks or so. That was a short-term deal. That was not a long-term solution, right? I like the way David Miller put it. He said, you know, watching church service online, he said, it's nowhere near as good and as authentic and real as meeting in person. He said, it's kind of like you kissing your girl. It's like me kissing my wife, he said, through a screen door. It does okay. It's okay, but removing that screen makes it a whole lot better, right? Well, I'll tell you, that's so true. We could do that, and we did that, but that's just a short-term issue. Long-term, and that biblically we are to unite ourselves and meet with one another within the local church. Some professing Christians have countless excuses for taking church membership lightly. A spirit of individualism is alive and well. And so he says, an aversion or an objection of commitment, submission, and accountability is also prevalent. Yet, regardless of the excuses, the Christian life is designed to be experienced independent of faithful and active membership within a community of a biblically organized assembly of the saints, the local church. We're going to stop right there. And then next week we'll be looking at the reasons why a person, a Christian, should unite themselves to a local church. The reasons why. So I encourage you to come back next Sunday to look at those reasons. We don't just do it to do it. We do it because there is a biblical principle involved in uniting with a church through church membership. Before we pray and allow the choir practice, before the choir leaves to go practice, we want to go ahead and take some prayer requests. If there are special needs that we need to mention publicly, continue to pray for Bill McKeag as he undergoes treatment for his prostate cancer. Continue to pray for Bill Irvin. Anyone else we need to mention? Special prayer. All right, well, let's close this time of Bible study and prayer. Our Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the church. We thank you, Lord, for this study that we are able to glean such wonderful truths, Lord, and see the importance. Lord, I pray that we would love your church even more in these days. I pray that we will grow closer to you, but as we also grow closer to one another. Lord, help us to see the need of community. Help us to see the necessity of having brothers and sisters in Christ who pray for us, who are there for us. Lord, I pray that you bless the service that is to come. I pray, Lord, for your Spirit to be made manifest in this place. I pray that, God, that if one comes through these doors that's never been saved, that has never been born again, Lord, I pray that through the preaching of the gospel of Christ, that you would save souls. Father, we love you, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.